Here we go back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus. It is a blessing to be here and to worship the Lord together with you all today. I feel a little bit fuzzy this morning because of less sleep, but I pray that God gives me clarity to share what I have here today with a clear mind. And so y'all can pray for that. Yes, we had a good several days there in Pennsylvania, and it was very encouraging to be there and just to be reminded again the importance of a church and the church involvement in the mission team's work and focus, and the stories that were told and the things that were shared really stressed that. And so for me, that was a big encouragement to be able to take that in. And I picked several things that speakers there talked about to mix in with what has been on my mind as well. Well, we stand for prayer. Thank you, God, again, for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you that we can be gathered here today and look into your word and worship you. I pray that you would guide our thoughts as we continue to ponder your word. Thank you for the things that were shared here already this morning. Help us to see and to hear from you and to allow your word to impact our lives as your spirit guides us in understanding what you're saying and how it applies to our everyday life. And so I pray that you would continue to guide us today as we ponder your word, guide us as we go from here and deal with life. Give us wisdom and understanding to know how to honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and read several verses there. I enjoy reading these verses and going over them from time to time. And what I see in these verses is that here's a man that received a message from God to encourage others, but not only did he bear that message to encourage others, that same message also brought power into his own life. It brought strength and resolve in his own life, in his own walk before God. So he himself was encouraged and empowered in the message, through the message that he brought to others. So Isaiah chapter 50 and beginning in verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. So wouldn't we like to know, we like to have somebody in our life that speaks encouragement to us. We like to have a word of encouragement to share with others. And so the writer here is testifying that God has given to him an ability and a message to share with others. And so we'll continue reading here and see how he then walks out his life before God and with that message. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, and ye shall lie down in sorrow. So what I see here is a man who had a message, but because of what he was given, he himself as well had strength and confidence to live out his life, to carry the message, and to continue on. And I'm not sure exactly what all this last verse is talking about, but to me it is encouragement that, behold, all ye that kindle a fire. You know, sometimes we try to stir up other people. We try to do things to bless other people. We light a fire, there's light, there's warmth, there's the ability to cook food. What I see in that verse for myself is that he is saying, the fire that you have been given to bless others, walk in that same blessing in your own life. Be empowered in your own life by the message and the words that God has given you to share with others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'll turn to there. And read that verse. And several other verses. Beginning in 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Persistence and pressing on is the encouragement there. To know how to make good choices, how to encourage others in good choices, and then persisting and pressing on in the knowledge that we have been given. Genesis chapter 26, one of these speakers read part of this chapter, and it really encouraged me to think about someone who believed the promises of God. That was mentioned here this morning, the promises of God. We sang the song, Standing on the Promises. And this man here in this story grasped the promises of God, and because of his faith in those promises, there is a walking out, walking through of life and the way he dealt with difficulty that I believe was hugely impacted by the fact that he had received God's promise and he was walking in the light of that promise. So Genesis chapter 26, and let's go to, beginning verse 1, we'll jump around here a little bit. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. So here, God comes to Isaac, and he tells him, go to this land, go to this place, and oh, by the way, I'm going to give you all these countries. This is going to be a part of my blessing on your life because of the promise that I made to Abraham, your father. I'm going to give you all this. And so the next part is a few verses that show the human side of Isaac. We're going to jump over that part, and we'll go to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. So I don't know if the famine had ended or not, but he went there because of a famine. Because God told him, he had set out to travel, and God told him, go here. And the driving reason behind it was the famine that was going on. But here, he's there, and he sowed seed, and God gave him, God blessed him. He received in the same year an hundredfold. Verse 13, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And the speaker pointed out that when a man dug a well and found water, that was a sign of ownership. A sign of ownership. And so here it tells how the Philistines were envious, and they came, and these wells that Abraham had dug, they filled them, they stopped him up. And Abimelech, king of the Philistines, said to Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. So, what did they do? Stand fight? No. They digged another well, and they strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him in the night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. So while that's going on, here the king, possibly the most powerful man in the land, came to him. And Isaac said to them, why come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. This is a story of persistence. A man that would not give up. even though what God had promised seemed like it was being repeatedly taken away from him, I believe he believed the promise of God. And because of grasping a hold of that promise, he continued on and kept persisting. And he saw God's blessing being poured out upon his life. And he moved to this certain area, and they're working on a well. And the joyful day came when they came with the message, "Hey, we found water." And once again, God had supplied their needs. But there was a lot of persistence that brought them up to this point. Now, I have, over the past, some of y'all, I'm sure, remember some of the titles of different messages that I have spoken on here. And one of them was, "Don't Get Treed by a Chihuahua." And that is a pseudonym for being cornered or stopped by fear. When you're up a tree, you're in a place where there's not much you can do. So the devil wants to use fear. He wants to use threatening. He wants to use intimidation to put you in a place where you are ineffective in the kingdom of God. And I must admit that as I went through some of these messages, I was largely thinking about our ABT project and how it's just so big. A lot of people are taking and filling roles there that are big roles. There's just so much. And as I thought of these things later on, I just realized that there's just so many aspects of life for all of us where God wants to use us. Even as Brother Aaron talked about here, little jobs are important jobs too. But those things, we can be stopped from filling those roles and doing those jobs because we're afraid. So don't get treated by a Chihuahua. A Chihuahua is a dog. He does have sharp teeth, and he really can bark. But he's not really but so big a threat. And the threat can look really big. Remember the story of the Israelites when Goliath came walking out there. The whole army turned and ran because they were afraid. Also, the Israelites in the book of Nehemiah, they faced what seemed like an impossible task. There was a city wall that needed to be rebuilt. And by the things that they saw and the things that they had to deal with, they had assumed that there was no hope and it was simply impossible. And so those are two illustrations of someone who's treed. They were in a place with no protection. They were in a place of fear. They were in a place of not being effective. And then another message was, be audacious. See if I can remember how to, there we go. I think I got it. Be audacious, and that doesn't sound necessarily like a good word, but it has a good implication, a good side to it, and that is be willing to do what other people are afraid to do. And a perfect example of that is David. Even though he's described as a stripling, he walked right out there, right up in front of that giant, and he conquered that giant. He was not going to be treed by a Chihuahua. He saw that for what it is and realized that his God was so much bigger than the problem, and he was not afraid because he had faith in his God. Nehemiah is another example of one who had the audacity to suggest that we can build this wall. And he did that. He went right about it. And while the people stared open mouth, perhaps, came up with a plan, hey, we can do this. And when people followed his direction, the wall got built despite threats and fearful things that kept coming up again and again to try to overwhelm them. Nehemiah had the audacity to stick with the vision, and the job got done. And so, also, I talked about the human mind's need for importance. So, human psyche. Let me see. That's a word that is hard to spell, at least for me. It's pretty simple, really, I guess. Human psyche. That is the totality of the human mind, both conscious or unconscious. There are things that you're afraid of that you're not thinking about all the time. Or there are things that cause certain reactions in you that you're not always aware of what's going on. To a little illustration that y'all might chuckle about is we had some time for some humor too in the midst of all the serious things going on there for a couple of days. And we were sitting at the table and somehow, who knows how, the conversation got onto coffee. And then someone said that drinking coffee releases dopamine. It's just like drugs or alcohol, or it's those little pleasure signals that your mind gives out that, you know, makes me happy, makes me cheerful, makes me more human in the mornings when I drink coffee. And then another person said that if you make pour over coffee, that the actual process must be why Ray does it. Ray likes to take a lot of time fixing his coffee. But if you make pour over coffee, you get just as much dopamine from the process as you do from drinking the coffee. That kind of annoyed me because I was convinced that coffee actually does some good. I think it's in your mind. So that's part of the human psyche of what you have in your mind that's going on that you're not really aware of. So there are times that we are more driven by the need for importance than we actually realize, or we're reacting to a need for importance and don't even maybe realizing what's driving that. So the human mind's need for importance, or the human sticky need for importance, ruins many a good opportunity because we get in the way because we want to be important. And another one was the three M's, and that is my mission, my men, which is my team, and me. And that is keeping those things in their proper order, realizing, never forgetting what my mission is, never forgetting the importance of the people on my team and taking care of them. And lastly, realizing that that's my place is last. That's me. But if me isn't taken care of in its proper place, then the other ones probably aren't going to work either. But keeping it in a proper perspective. And along with that goes love one another. In the biblical sense of what the Bible teaches us about loving one another. And so for today as well, be not weary in well doing. And so if we look at that list and realize, if we think that through, and my mind rambles around in so many things, and I see connections to so many things. One of the things that one of the speakers pointed out, and this really connects to that as well, is that there was a judge that said there are three questions that a person needs to deal well with in order to be a balanced person. And as I pondered that, I realized that we are not going to do this very well unless we as well deal with these three questions. And that is, where did I come from? By whose choice am I here? My wife has said already, it wasn't my choice to be born. What do I have to deal with? And that's very true. Sometimes we can ask that question. This wasn't my choice. Why do I have to deal with whatever? So the first question is that we need to deal well with is, where did I come from? By whose choice am I here? And then the next one is, why? Why am I here? What is my purpose? For what reason, whoever made the choice for me to be here, what was the purpose? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? And I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, have heard these things before. And then the third one, where am I going? This judge, it wasn't really said if he was a righteous judge or an unrighteous judge, but I believe, if I remember right, it was a judge who said that until people deal well with these three questions, they will not be a very balanced person. And I say, until we deal well with these three questions, we do not deal well with the working out of this list. And we know that all of this needs to be wrapped around the awareness of God. Until we have a good awareness of the fact that we are here by the design and the choice of God, we are here for the purpose of bringing glory to Him, filling the roles that He gives to us, and also being confident that when we die, we are going to go to be with God. And it is by His design and by His plan and for His purposes that we are here. And so we can be just like Isaac was in the kind of confidence that he had as he continued to dig another well, that God had made a promise, God had a plan, and he was resting in that. We can also be like the writer there in Isaiah, who says, I got a message for God, for other people. And because of that message and because of that interaction, I have set my face like a flint. I will not be deterred by those who fight against me, those who come against me, those who mistreat me. I am a man with a word from God, and I am on a mission. It is because he had dealt well with the where, the why, and the where am I going. If you look at Genesis chapter 26, like I just mentioned, he as well had dealt well with these questions, and he had promised, he had received the promises of God, and he believed those promises. And what a joyful day it must have been when they came running and said, hey, we found water. We've had success. And the realization that the most powerful man in the land had just come and made a peace covenant with him. And now they had a source of water, and his huge flocks and herds and all his servants could flourish because they had water in order to drink. I believe that that messenger coming and saying, we have found water, was to him a confirmation that God once again was keeping his promise. Now, a brother there used this illustration, and I thought it was pretty neat. If you Google largest hand-dug well, you'll come up with... it'll tell you that the largest hand-dug well in the United States is in Kansas. And Kansas often is kind of a dry place. The people of this town decided they needed water, and someone came up with a plan to do something about it. In 1887, they decided to dig a well. And they dug this well. Took them the rest of that year and a good part of the next year to dig this well. And when they finally were successful, they had a hole that was 32 feet in diameter by 109 feet deep. How many drill rigs and excavators do you think they put to work to do that? None. None. They did that with picks and shovels. And I Googled it, and it's interesting. Of course, you get multiple stories of what all happened. And so I picked the one that was the most interesting to me. And it said that they started digging. They must have had some idea that they would have to go some distance, because why else would they start with a hole 32 feet in diameter, but maybe they enlarged it later on. But they started that with a single shovel full of dirt, is how that project started. And as they dug down, they rigged up some sort of a tripod or whatever, and they used a half of a barrel and a rope is what they lowered. They would shovel that full of dirt, pull it up, and they'd dump it on a wagon. It's not a wagon that we normally would think of as a wagon, because it also had to be loaded by hand and unloaded by hand. So they have this wagon that's actually just a frame with boards laying on it. You put a pile of dirt on it, you drive out to the low spot, And the driver gets off and he turns the boards over one after another. And that's how they emptied the wagon. And they go back and they pull up some more barrel fulls of dirt, dump it on the wagon. And you have this line of wagons keeps going in a circle. And they say around this area, I guess Kansas is pretty level anyway. But according to this story that I claimed, part of the reason that that area is as level as it is because of all the wagon loads of dirt. Now, if you figure that, and I'm not smart enough to do it, but I used an online calculator and it said that there was about 13,000 cubic yards of dirt. Now, to most of you, you don't really get to picture just how much that is. But to put it into perspective, 13,000 cubic yards of dirt would, if you have a triaxle dump truck, it hauls 16 yards, maybe 18 yards. It would take around 800 dump truck loads of dirt to move it. And we all know that if you take that hole, which contains 13,000 cubic yards, you get more than that in volume when you take it out, because you can never get it all back in. So just picture the immense amount of dirt that had to be moved. I would look at that and say, just shoot me now, because the job's going to kill me. But those people, somebody had a vision, and people were willing to work that hard as they started digging. And by the time they decided they had success, they were down there 109 feet. But the job wasn't done then. They went to a nearby stream, some area not too far from there, and they quarried out rocks. And they hauled rocks back, and they put a 2-foot-thick wall around, lined the inside of that with a 2-foot-thick wall of rock. So first they dug the hole, then they lowered the rocks in and built this wall the whole way up, 109 feet. And to me, I just say, wow, the persistence and the vision that someone had in their goal to supply water to that town. And I can only imagine the celebration that came the day that that project was finally completed and they started drawing that good, sweet water out of that well. We have water. Amen. You know, persistence to see the job through. As possibly the one man is given the credit of coming up with the idea and designing a way to do it. And so a man had a vision, but he had a huge number of people that worked with him to bring that vision to fruition. But this man believed it could be done, and other people were willing to jump in there and take part in it. And so, wow, what a job, but one joyful day, the job was completed. And I don't know if anybody had any expectation of it taking that long or not. But one joyful day, the job was done. We have water. Now, if we think about our life, there's a whole varied list of things here in this room amongst us that sometimes we wonder, are we going to succeed? Are we going to get there? If you think about All Nations and you listen to some of those teams and the years that they have already spent and the part ways that they're into it, sometimes you may wonder, are they ever going to succeed in getting? I think they are. Pretty confident they are if the Lord tarries and they have persistence in sticking with the project. But it's a big project. It takes a lot of years. It takes a lot of time. But there's also a lot of other things that bring us weariness, and we wonder, am I going to be able to make this work? You know, it's easy to struggle in your vision for your family. Or maybe it's a vision for your business. When it feels like a lot of hard work's getting in there, a lot of hard work's going into it, but you're not finding, you haven't found yet the end result that you're looking for. You didn't realize you're going to have to dig so long or put so much effort in to getting to where you want to be. And you wonder, am I ever going to find success? Perhaps you have a burden for your church and wonder if it's ever going to work out the way you envision what church should be like. Are you ever going to find the church that you had envisioned and be able to enjoy what you envisioned for yourself, what a church would be like? There are amongst us health difficulties, physical difficulties, and you wonder if you're ever going to find a solution. Does that ever cross your mind, Sister Rhonda? I bet it does. I bet it does. We know that heaven's going to fix it all, but meanwhile, it's kind of nice if we don't have to suffer all the time. There's varied things, that physical things here, health things that different ones of us have to deal with, and it doesn't feel like it's a simple thing. Maybe there are people that you know and care about, and you spend huge amounts of time praying for them. You're longing to see answers and success. You're wondering if it's worth it. Or maybe it's people that you dump a lot of time into. You spend a lot of time with them, listening to them talk, talking to them, helping them. And the thought crosses your mind, maybe I'm just wasting my time. Maybe these people are just big time wasters. Am I ever going to see any real return for what I'm pouring into? Praying for those people, maybe people that you work with. You pray for them. You love to see them find the Lord. Just lots of things that we deal with in life, that if you're like me, you sometimes find yourself asking the question, am I digging in the wrong place? Is this hole ever going to get anywhere? Maybe there's struggles with temptations, maybe spiritual difficulties you're struggling to overcome. You want to be a conqueror, you want to be a winner, and you wonder, am I ever going to get there? Those questions do come. Well, those who give up will never hear the joyful words, we found water. Those who give up will for sure never find success. In Isaiah chapter 50, as I mentioned before, the writer there talks about what he has received from God for others has empowered his life as well. And they talked a little bit about the illustration of this big well and the three questions. And I was thinking about, I was sitting there, I guess, my mind wandering a bit. And I was thinking about ways to encourage people. And all of a sudden, it seemed like God told me that, hey, these things work for the things you've been complaining about too. And I just thought, wow. And it reminded me of the writer of Isaiah chapter 50, who said, you know what? I've been given these things to bring a word of encouragement to others, but myself as well, I have been empowered by God's word. Mm-hmm. And that is just amazing. How God can do that, how God can use those things that we thought we were going to use for the encouragement of others, and hopefully we can. But God also wants to pour that same effect into our own lives. His promises, his words that he gives us for others have a way of empowering our own lives. And so I want to encourage you all today, if you find yourself in a place where if you're wondering if you're ever going to succeed, don't give up. If you have received the direction and the promises of God, don't give up. Keep digging. And if God has given you the vision, if God has given you the promise, there will be a day when there will be that joyful cry. We found water. There is success. We can believe God for that. So I want to encourage you all to hang in there. to hang in there. If God sets you on a vision, on a goal, on a job, don't give up. Believe the promises of God and let those promises go to work in your own life. Brother Jim read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 12, and I'd like to read a few more there. It tells us there, seeing that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's go. Let's run. Let's do what we have to do to be a winner. Let's look to Jesus. Let's look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before Jesus, he said, you know what? There's a big price for me, but what I want is on the other side. Who for the joy that was set before him said, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the long, hard work. It's worth the toil, the sweat, perhaps the not knowing exactly how long it's going to take. But Jesus looked at the goal and said, the goal is worth it. So if we jump down to verse 5, there he begins to talk about the chastisement of the Lord. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Difficulty in your life, if we have the proper perspective, if we allow the Word of God to shape that perspective, we are going to understand that God, when God loves us, he allows difficulty to come into our lives in order to achieve a desired result. And we can as well be like Jesus. Again, going back to that example that we are given of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him said, you know what? I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to put in the effort. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to do what needs to be done because I believe the promise that I have received that on the other side, God says it's going to be worth it. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You don't belong. You don't belong if you're not receiving chastisement. And furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And live. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's not fun. It's not fun to walk through the difficulty. It's not fun to walk through the times of wondering if you're digging the hole in the wrong place or if you're ever going to find success. It's not fun. It's not fun to deal with that. So it's not joyous, but grievous, but the promise is given. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And don't we want that? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The joyful day when the desire for water has been fulfilled. You have success. You have reached your goal. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Also in chapter 6, and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let us go on. Let's press on. At some point, we have to believe in the direction and the promises of God and stop wondering if we dug the hole in the right place. If we started in the right place or if we are in the right place. At some point, we need to set aside some of that preliminary stuff and press on. Press on. Let us not be weary in well-doing and let us press on unto perfection. Perfection, what is that? That sounds like an unachievable goal. So how about completion? Let's press on to completion. Let's press on to a realization of the goal. And we do that as we believe the promises of God. realizing that for most people, it's not easy for them either. It's not a unique thing that we wrestle with. Yes, maybe no one else is dealing with the exact same difficulty, but there are plenty of difficulties to go around. And as believers, let's walk a life of encouragement for each other. And as we receive the encouragement from God to give to each other, let's walk in the light of that same fire that we've been given. Let's allow that flame to give us the warmth and the light that that is intended to give us. And may God's will be done, God's work be accomplished, and may his name be glorified as he fulfills his promises in our lives.